Well, good morning, coffee shop members. Welcome to the coffee shop. We're going to be doing a new study this morning. We're going to be discussing the Bema Seat of Christ. But right before we get started, let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing me to be here to share your word this morning to our friends at the coffee shop. Thank you so much for giving us your son, Jesus, who died for us in our place. Bless this message and let the Holy Spirit move amongst us this morning. For it's in Christ's name we say and pray and we say thank you. Well, as we look at this, the Bema Seat of Christ. Well, what is the Bema Seat of Christ? It is the judgment seat of Christ for the born-again believers, the saved of Christ. Well, let's look at Revelation 20, 1 through 15, where it is talking about the great white throne judgment for the unsaved people who deny our Lord Jesus. This is not the Bema Seat. That is for the believers, the saved of Christ. Remember, when we serve our great King Jesus, do it with a heart like this. Not that we got to do it, but that we get to do it for the glory of Christ. Let's always remember that when we do this. Well, as we're looking at the great white throne judgment in Revelation 20, 11 through 15, it says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Let me tell you, you do not want to be in the lake of fire. It's worse than hell. Hell is in the center of the earth now, the lake of fire. I don't know where that actually is, but can you imagine standing in a lake of fire for all eternity, burning and suffering and crying out with no help? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you've never repented before him of your sins, you will be there someday at that great white throne judgment and afterwards a lake of fire. Just think about that. Think about that for a moment. Let's continue on. Jesus says this to those on his left. Jesus says, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels," found in John 3:36. Romans 2:5-8 speak of the wrath to come for all who are unrighteous and who do not trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Those people are the goats. Those ones will receive condemnation that is due to them. The timing of the great white throne judgment is according to the Bible after the 1,000-year period when Satan will be bound in the pit so as not to deceive the nations, found in Revelation 2 and 3. When he is released, consequently battles the Lord, he is thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur and will be tormented day and night forever and ever, found in Revelation 20:9-10. After that, the dead, great and small, will stand before the throne, and according to what is written in the books, according to what they have done. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. That is one place that you do not want to be. The Bible talks about the judgment seat of Christ, also referred to as the Bema, in three places. In Romans 4, 10 and 12, 1 Corinthians 3, 10, 4 and 5, 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10. Only church-age saints will appear at the judgment, as shown in 2 Corinthians 5, 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. For the purpose of the Bema is an extensive evaluation of our lives. 1 Corinthians 4, 5 says, the Lord will come and bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. That passage reveals Paul's emphasis on the judgment seat of Christ. Notice that Paul says each man's praise will come to him from God. God gives rewards to the victors. He does not whip the losers. We know that he won't condemn us for our sins at that point because Romans 8:10 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Thus, the purpose of the judgment seat of Christ is to examine a Christian's total life. We will be recompensed for deeds we have done, whether good or bad, tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:10. The term used there refers to summing up and estimation of the total pattern of a believer's life. This overall focus should keep us from worrying over every stupid thing we've ever done or thoughtless sin we have committed. It's a time of reward, not punishment. At that same time, while we won't be condemned for our sins, our present lives do affect what the judgment seat of Christ. Here's how. Well, we are God's fellow workers. We are God's field. You are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation and other buildings on it. Let each one take heed how he builds, what he builds on. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each man's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you? And that is something to think about. Which temple are you? Well, what is the purpose of the judgment seat of Christ? The Bible talks about the judgment seat of Christ referred to as the Bema seat. The Bema seat is taken from the Greek word for judgment. We refer to it as the Bema seat because it is a formidable picture of how Christ is set above us as he renders judgment to his church. The Apostle Paul wrote two definite passages referring to the Bema seat. Corinthians 5:10 and Romans 14:10. And he comprehended and illustrated Jesus as judge. Jesus is the one who is standing at the finish line, judging what every believer does. Yes, Christians are saved from God's wrath, found in Romans 5:9. But we still capable of evil while in this body of flesh. And that is so true. We commit all kinds of evils in the body of flesh. if we walk out of the spirit, if we are in the flesh. Even Paul wrestles with this self sinful nature found in Romans 7:19. With respect to all these things, we will, after death on earth, or after Jesus removes his church from the world, found in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, stand, therefore able to stand before our holy Lord and receive rewards for how we lived as Christians. You know what's about the Bema Seat? That's why we've got to be very, very careful as Christians. What we do, we honor God while we serve him on this earth. But you know what? There are five crowns, we're called Bema Seat rewards, which I'd like to share with you about when we stand before the Lord someday. But these are certainly not the only rewards given in heaven. The Bible teaches that there will be a reward system in heaven. Crowns can be lost. Did you realize that? Crowns can be lost. Revelation 3:11. We are to guard ourselves and watch and pray and continue in faithfulness, growing in grace. Some have their reward already. However, if you stay faithful to God, you will not lose rewards in heaven, found in Revelation 4:4. They were all clothed in white and had golden crowns on their heads. Revelation 4:10 states that we will be casting our crowns before his throne. Will that be great someday, the thrones that we get to cast them at Jesus' feet? Because he is worthy. He is worthy. Find that we be not ashamed at his coming, found in 1 John 2:27 to 29, which tells us that some will be ashamed for not having done works. We must not settle with salvation without works, but use our heart and soul, mind and strength to pursue the prize. What good is a crown if you haven't earned it? Let me say that again. What good is a crown if you haven't earned it? No cross, no crown. The Christian's life is not possible without the indwelling and abiding works of the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity, found in Matthew 22:11-14. How camest in thou hither not having a wedding garment? But let's look at the first crown. The first crown found in James 12 and Revelation 2:10. The crown of life is not for salvation. Salvation is not a reward for faithful service to Christ. The salvation of our souls by grace through faith is a gift from God. The crown of life is for living the Christian life. It is for those believers who endure trials, tribulations, and severe suffering, even unto death. This crown is also referred to as the martyr's crown. Therefore, the crown of life is for the Christians who yielded their lives, found in Galatians 2:20. Continuing on, their ambitions, abilities, and resources to the cause of Christ in evangelizing the world and bringing the glory to God. The second crown is the incorruptible crown, found in 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. The incorruptible crown is given to believers who faithfully run the race, who crucify selfish desires in the flesh and point men to Jesus. It is based upon Christ's evaluation of a believer's whole life. The key to this reward are the words, temperate in all things, found in 1 Corinthians 9:25. Those who do not temper themselves are described in Galatians 5:13-21, and are those who are in the flesh, are carnal, sinful Christians. And we sure do not want to be a carnal, sinful Christian. The third crown is the crown of joy or rejoicing, found in 1 Thessalonians 2:19-20, and also found in Daniel 12:2-3. The crown of rejoicing is often referred to as the soul winner's crown. There are three phases in the evangelism of the soul. The three phases or steps are detailed in the Great Commission, found in Matthew 28:16-20, given by Christ to his church, especially pastors. The three phases are preaching, proclaiming the gospel of salvation through faith in Christ Jesus' finished work on the cross, baptizing those born again of the Spirit of God as a public testimony of commitment to life, the Christian walk life, teaching those saved and baptized by immersing to observe or live according to the Word of God. This crown is actually the believers themselves that have been disciplined. The fourth crown, the crown of righteousness, the crown of keeping the faith, found in 2 Timothy 4:1-8. The crown of righteousness is often every believer will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ according to two criteria regarding how we kept the faith: the effort we put into learning the Word of God, and the effort we make to teach the Word of God to others. If the effect we make to be doers of the Word and not hearers only, the crown of righteousness is for learning, living, and teaching the Word of God, found in 2 Timothy 2:1-5, where it says, "The same commit thou to faithful men who are able to teach others also, and that if we strive for masteries, we are not crowned unless we strive lawfully." And the last crown, crown number 5, the crown of glory, the faithful pastor's crown. The crown of glory is a pastor's crown and will be given at the Bema seat to the ministers who faithfully feed the flock of God. This probably could also include preachers, teachers, Sunday school teachers, missionaries, and all those who teach the Word of God in their respective ministries, especially in the absence of a pastor. This is perhaps the highest ranking crown of all. Rewards are given for faithfulness according to the levels of responsibility of ministry given by the Lord. The pastors will be held accountable for their lives under the ministry, found in Hebrews 13:17, 1 Timothy 4:12-16. The minister is to teach the whole counsel of God and administer righteously without respect of persons. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, found in Psalms 116:15. When we are called home and judged before the Lord at his judgment seat, we will be passing from labor to reward, found in 2 Corinthians 5:1-10. And our works do follow us, found in Revelation 14:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil, found in Ecclesiastes 12:13-14. In closing, the Bema Seat of Christ, let me ask you a question. Do you want to be with Christ Jesus at his rewards seat? Or do you want to be at the great white throne judgment with the lost, the unsaved? If you're there, the lake of fire is awaiting you for all eternity. Do you want that? Jesus Christ is the only right choice. And let me tell you how to get there. Let me ask you three simple questions. And I'm going to have the finger pointing back at myself because I'm guilty of these three things. Have you ever stolen anything? Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever hated anyone? What does God say about this? Well, in God's eyes, you're a thief, a liar, and a murderer. In a court of law, you'll be found guilty of those crimes and you would be tried for them. But there's good news. Jesus died for us on the cross in our place. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And Romans 10:10 goes on to say, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your holy word to discuss the Bema seat, the judgment seat, your judgment seat, dear Lord Jesus. We thank you for that. Be with all of our coffee shop members and bless us, Lord. Thank you so much for your word, which in Christ's name we pray. Amen.